Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, May 26th, Pope Francis says the Holy Spirit teaches and guides the Church in bearing witness to Jesus Christ. Europeans go to the polls to elect members of the EU Parliament, and Caritas Uganda is helping to meet the needs of the 1 million refugees living in the country. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis prayed the Regina Caeli on Sunday with the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square. Ahead of the traditional Marian prayer for the Easter season, the Pope reflected on how the Holy Spirit guides us and the Church in bearing witness to the risen Christ. Taking his cue from the Gospel of John, Pope Francis said Jesus promised never to leave the apostles alone as he prepared to face his passion and the cross. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you, were the words of that promise, the Pope said.
Nella lingua originale greca, il termine paraclito.
The term paraclete in the original Greek, he said, means one who stands beside another in order to support and console. In this way, the Pope said, Jesus continues to instruct and animate his disciples through the action of the Paraclete, who helps us in our mission of proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. The Holy Spirit does not add anything to divine revelation, said Pope Francis, because Jesus had already transmitted all that he wanted to entrust to the apostles.
Il compito dello Spirito Santo è quello di far ricordare.
The Holy Spirit's task is to make people remember, he said, in other words, to make them fully understand and encourage them to concretely implement the teachings of Jesus. Pope Francis said this is also the Church's mission, which she carries out through a precise way of life. It is characterized, he said, by faith in the Lord and the observance of his word, docility to the action of the Spirit, the acceptance of his peace, and the witness we bear to him through an attitude of openness and encounter with others. Pope Francis said the Church cannot remain stationary but relies on the active participation of each baptized person. He said we are called to free ourselves from our views, strategies, and objectives which often impede the journey of faith and to listen with docility to the Word of God.
È lo Spirito di Dio a guidarci.
It is the Spirit of God who guides us and guides the Church, he said, so that her authentic, beautiful, and luminous face may shine forth. Finally, Pope Francis invited the faithful to ask the Virgin Mary to protect the Church and all humanity, especially during the month of May when we pray to Our Lady with special devotion.
Lei che con fede umile e coraggiosa ha cooperato pienamente con Spirito Santo.
May she who with humble and courageous faith cooperated fully with the Holy Spirit in the incarnation of the Son of God, he said, also help us to let ourselves be instructed and guided by the Paraclete, so that we can accept the Word of God and bear witness to it with our lives. Sunday was the final and main day of voting in European Parliament elections, with nationalists mounting a challenge to pro-EU parties. 21 EU states were voting, while 7 others already went to the polls over a 3-day span. Results will not be released until the last polls close on Sunday evening. As Susie Hodges reports, the European elections are taking place against a backdrop of rising EU skepticism.
Opinion polls showed that immigration was the biggest issue for voters across Europe, followed by the economy and climate change. Nationalist Eurosceptic parties have tapped into this concern and are widely expected to do well in these elections, including in the 3 biggest countries of the Eurozone, Germany, France and Italy. Several analysts in Germany were predicting losses for all 3 parties that make up Chancellor Angela Merkel's ruling coalition. Across in France, President Emmanuel Macron is strongly in favour of more EU integration, but opinion polls showed the Eurosceptic National Rally Party could narrowly win more support than Macron's own party. A further threat to EU integration comes from Italy's Deputy Premier Matteo Salvini. His populist anti-immigration Lega party is tipped to win more than 30% of the vote in these elections. On the left, some of the smaller parties, like the European Greens, are hoping to increase their share of the vote in the wake of widespread climate change protests in recent weeks. Britain was not supposed to be taking part in these elections, but political deadlock over an exit deal with the EU has delayed Brexit, As a result, Britons were called to the polls on Thursday. A day later, Prime Minister Theresa May announced she was stepping down on June the 7th because of the failure by her Conservative government to deliver Brexit. Opinion polls showed that the newly formed Brexit Party was likely to gain the most votes in these elections, with the Conservatives only in fourth place. In every European parliament, the centre-right and centre-left parties have been the dominant power. But if the opinion polls prove accurate, these establishment parties are expected to suffer across the EU, both at the hands of the nationalist populist parties as well as smaller groupings on the left. The result is likely to be a more splintered European Parliament that will put a potential brake on collective action in economic and foreign policy. In more general terms, the result seems certain to put on ice plans for further EU integration. This is Susie Hodges reporting for Vatican News.
In Nepal, at least three people were killed and five others injured today in explosions in the capital. Police say that two separate explosions hit two neighborhoods in Kathmandu, but that the cause of the blasts was unclear. Security forces have been placed on high alert and officers are patrolling key areas of the city. The Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea resigned today after 7 years in the top job. Peter O'Neill stepped down following weeks of defections from the ruling party. Former Prime Minister Sir Julius Chan will take over the premiership of the South Pacific nation. Uganda has protested an incursion by Rwandan soldiers on its territory, which it said resulted in the deaths of two people. The foreign ministry said Saturday that two Rwandan soldiers entered a southwestern district on Friday in pursuit of a suspected smuggler. They allegedly shot dead a Rwandan and a Ugandan. Separately, Uganda is hosting over 1 million refugees, making it one of the largest host nations in the world. The country has policies that give asylum seekers rights to education, work, and basic health care. Caritas Uganda, the Catholic Church's local humanitarian arm, is helping to fill the gap left by those government programs. Helen Chanekare, program coordinator, spoke to Linda Bordoni about Caritas's work with refugees.
The main majority of refugees in Uganda right now are from South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo. With the South Sudanese, their main need right now is food security. We went through the emergency phase. Right now we are going into food security, trying to provide our crops that can at least last for more than 6 months, 6 to 1 year. Thanks to the Ugandan government with their policy where the refugees are almost integrated. They are given land to farm. So that is aid helping us a lot into providing our interventions when it comes to food security.
What other priorities does Caritas Uganda have?
As Caritas Uganda, we have a number of priorities. We have 5 strategic objectives that we are looking at. And one is the food security. Another one is response to humanitarian needs. Another priority is looking at the climate change. This time it's not mainstreamed. We've brought it out as a standalone objective. The other one is looking at the disease burden. We have so many different diseases that are impairing our interventions with development. For example, the HIV/AIDS epidemic. We have Ebola at a certain time. We also have the nodding disease. It's in the northern part of the country. So what Caritas does is to reduce on that disease burden, targeting those. And then the fifth is ensuring transparency and accountability. That is through advocacy for good policy change. We are doing advocacy on climate change. We are also doing advocacy on food security. We need good policies for the farmers to produce. We need good policies to protect the environment and other ecosystems.
That was Helen Chanikare, program coordinator for Caritas Uganda, speaking there to Linda Bordoni. The annual celebration of the Ugandan martyrs takes place on June 3rd, but the local archbishop says plans to host some 4 million pilgrims are in difficulty. A major funding shortage is putting a damper on the celebration, as John Baptist Tomasine reports.
The Archbishop of Uguru in Uganda, His Grace John Baptist Odama, has made a desperate appeal to people of goodwill to contribute money towards the celebration of the Feast of the Uganda Martyrs, which will be marked on June 3rd. Speaking in an emergency press conference on Thursday in Kampala, Archbishop Odama said the planning committee is in deficit of $134,000.
So far, we had realized only 40% of our budget. A special appeal goes to those who have made pledges and they have not yet honored them. The success of this day is the success of the nation of Uganda.
The Archdiocese of Gulu was chosen by the Uganda Catholic Bishops' Conference to lead the country in this year's celebrations of the Feast of the Uganda Martyrs. The organizers say about 4 million pilgrims will participate in this year's celebrations at Uganda Martyrs Shrine Namugongo. For Vatican News, John Baptist Tumusime reporting.
Catholic churches in Ghana are adding security to protect the faithful from a growing threat of attacks by Islamist militants in the West African region. Archbishop John Bonaventure Kouafie is of the capital Accra told the media that the threat is coming closer. He said security has become a big issue, saying the Easter Sunday attacks in Sri Lanka and recent violence in Burkina Faso show the threat is real. The Christ the King Church in Accra has introduced several security measures, including banning people from carrying backpacks inside the church. Police officers will also be deployed during Sunday masses, adding to a new security directive. In Afghanistan, at least 24 people have been killed and 11 others injured in the past month as heavy rains and flooding swept parts of the country. A statement from the Disaster Management Ministry says flooding has affected 6 of Afghanistan's 34 provinces. Downpours have destroyed over 200 homes nationwide so far in May. Meanwhile, the UN Children's Fund is working to treat vulnerable Afghan children who are suffering from severe forms of malnutrition. UNICEF spokesman Christoph Bulyarak says over 2 million children suffer from acute malnutrition in Afghanistan.
The situation of malnutrition of children in Afghanistan is alarming. There are 2 million children in the country which suffer from acute malnutrition, and among them 600,000 children that suffer from severe acute malnutrition. A child that suffers from severe acute malnutrition is a child that needs urgent treatment. Otherwise, he might die. For instance, he's extremely weak. He can get sick very easy. And 1 in 2 children in Afghanistan is not vaccinated. We're talking about all of the country, but it's true that in 2018, there was a drought that affected very, very seriously 22 out of 34 provinces in the country, and it was mostly in the southwest, in the northeast. So in these very hardly affected provinces by the drought, we noticed, some data show that the level of severe acute malnutrition in these specific provinces have increased of 25%. So 4 decades of war for children, a very difficult year in 2018, a conflict that is still lasting, and children, a level of severely acutely malnourished children, 600,000, which remain unfortunately stagnant.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks to our sound engineers in studio.